is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The New World Report with Joseph Umar, the executive director of Secure Free Society, and Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil. We begin in Nicaragua with a news report that is very positive, except more than 200 Nicaraguan political prisoners freed and flown to the United States, nearly all of them prominent government critics jailed in President Daniel Ortega's crackdown on dissent. Ortega later described the surprise release as a push to expel criminal provocateurs who sought to undermine Nicaragua, while the United States hailed the release as a constructive step towards improving human rights. Joseph, I start because more than a year ago, we spoke to the wife of one of the protesters who was jailed, who is now released, Mara Diaga. Recall that conversation to me. And Mr. Mara Diaga, is he now safe in the United States? Good day to you.
Good day, John. So, yes, we spoke with Berta Valle, who's the wife of Felix Mara Diaga, who's been one of the more high-profile political prisoners in Nicaragua, was also a presidential candidate at one time. And he's an old friend of mine. I've known him for more than a decade. And so when we spoke to Bertha, what she was making a call to action was for the U.S. government or for the international community to put more pressure on the Ortega Murillo regime, because not only was he unjustly imprisoned, he was a political prisoner, but the conditions inside the prison were inhumane. Solitary confinement, lack of light, lack of food and water. And so these were the things that she was trying to draw attention to. It wasn't like he was just in an ordinary prison. He was essentially being, in some sense, of a torture prison. So he was released along with 220 other Nicaraguans that were released from prison and sent to the United States. But here's the kicker, John. I think the main thing that Ortega did, and I think this is something that's worth discussing, is he stripped them of their citizenship. So he stripped them of their ability to be Nicaraguan citizens. Which is why I think now there's efforts to provide them with citizenship from Spain. But nonetheless, what that does in effect was it removes them as political obstacles or political opposition. Someone like Felix Madariaga, who is probably the top political contender to Daniel Ortega, now cannot run for political office or do anything politically inside the country. He's probably not even allowed inside the country at this point. So I thought that was an interesting move. And I think the big message, and this is kind of what I've been wrestling with over the last weekend since we heard the news. What does this mean? Obviously, it's very positive that, you know, Felix Madariaga and all these other Nicaraguan political prisoners are now free and reunited with their families. That's a great story. This is a great thing. However, I think what we're really seeing here in Nicaragua is the closing of the country, removing all their political opposition. Many of them that were incarcerated are now out of the country, jailing or extending sentences on current political opposition or even civil society opposition, such as the bishop that's in prison in Nicaragua, and basically now taking Nicaragua into the last phase of its authoritarian trajectory. And this happens on the heels of the visit of the Iranian foreign minister. And I think that that's very symbolic on how Nicaragua is going.
Ernesto, your experience with political prisoners in all these countries you visited, but especially in Nicaragua, are they a major component of the conversation when the states get together at the OAS or other organizations? Do they talk about political prisoners?
Good day, John. Yes, very much so. Very much so. During my term, We engaged in a very intense campaign of pressure on Nicaragua, on Ortega, regarding the whole human rights situation, and very especially the political prisoners. And even a little bit before that, I remember a moment where in the OAS, I think it was back in 2017 or 2018, rather, we managed to devise a resolution putting a lot of pressure on Nicaragua. And I remember the Nicaraguans there saying, oh, we don't want to become another Venezuela in the sense of being isolated from the community. So they gave signs that this pressure was working. But they, of course, they didn't mean it. And they maneuvered here and there. And with the shift of Latin America towards the left spectrum and towards tolerance and support for totalitarian regimes, they lived up and they, well, they outlived that sort of pressure. So, yes, they are becoming a new Venezuela, but in the bad sense, right? And to the point of, like Joseph was saying, closing up the country. My concern, personally, as a Brazilian now, is that Brazil is becoming something similar, that there is an effort to totally shut down opposition, to shut important figures like former President Bolsonaro out of the country. We have a couple of influencers and journalists currently in the U.S. who had their passports canceled, so they cannot return to Brazil unless they want to be arrested. I mean, Brazil is going the Nicaragua way, unfortunately.
Joseph, I come to you with an item from the Vatican. Pope Francis spoke of his concern over the imprisonment of Nicaraguan Bishop Rolando Alvarez, sentenced to more than 26 years in prison in a Latin American country. The Pope's comments about Bishop Alvarez, who was a vocal critic of Nicaraguan President Ortega, were made in his weekly blessing to pilgrims and tourists at St. Peter's Square. Ortega has accused Catholic leaders of attempting to overthrow him. Is there anything to this, Joseph? Is that a typical charge, that Rome is against me?
Well, there has been a tension between the Vatican and Nicaragua for quite a long time. These charges that you just read and the ones that Daniel Ortega has levied against the Catholic community inside Nicaragua has been something that he's been saying for a few years. And this bishop in particular has been incarcerated for a little bit of time. So it's not necessarily new in that regard, but I think it was interesting the timing of how they extended the sentence, which is, you know, very, very harsh sentence for an unjust imprisonment. And it comes on the heels of releasing those political prisoners. So everyone thinks, oh, is Daniel Ortega turning a new leaf? Is he becoming more conciliatory? Or is there some type of negotiation happening with the State Department? And immediately, to quell any of those positive developments, he immediately clamps down on this bishop in particular and starts to lash out against the Vatican and the Catholic Church, which provokes the response from them. So I think that this is, you know, kind of more of the same, but the timing is certainly interesting.
I want to underline something here, Joseph. There's no evidence of Rome leading a revolution against Ortega. There's no evidence, in fact, of what at this point looks like a threat to Ortega. Hasn't he sealed the government so that it's completely dominates the country? They've murdered people, they've jailed people, they've chased people out of the country. He's under no immediate threat whatsoever, is my reading. Is that correct?
That's correct, John. I mean, there was a social uplift, a social movement that arose inside the country in 2017 and in 2018. But that was met with brutal repression and protest. I mean, honestly, the repression that we saw in Nicaragua in those years was probably even greater than what we've seen in Venezuela and in Cuba. I mean, the amount of deaths, I think it was more than, I can't remember the number off the top of my head, but it was, you know, several dozen, if not hundreds of deaths in a short amount of time. In Venezuela, it took years before the tally to that level of political violence. So, no, you're right. Daniel Ortega really doesn't have any credible threat to his power inside the country, other than international pressure. But even the international pressure that's been levied, he's been sanctioned, he's been ostracized from the international community, he's been diplomatically not recognized, even among some center-left governments in the region. However, that doesn't seem to make a huge difference inside Nicaraguan territory. And so, yeah, you're right. He doesn't really have a credible threat, but he always wouldn't stop him from making one up.
Ernesto, there are sanctions on Nicaragua. Human rights violations led to sanctions. Your measure of sanctions, are they effective in changing the behavior of bad actors like Nicaragua? Or do the Nicaraguan dictators just turn them into a reason to crack down more on their own population? What is the advantage and disadvantage of sanctions?
Yeah, John, I think sanctions have a very mixed set of results. I think sanctions can only work when you have almost a unanimous support from the international community, like in the 80s when you had international sanctions on South Africa, on the apartheid regime in South Africa, which was key to their overturning that regime. when you have, well, part of the international community supporting sanctions and applying them, and another part, important actors, not doing so and doing backdoor deals, etc., then they are counterproductive. They serve as a pretext for dictatorial countries to stay in power, to victimize themselves, and at the same time to strengthen their links with other totalitarian regimes. So sanctions can work only also when combined with other kinds of pressure, diplomatic isolation, with isolation in international financial institutions, and things like that. Also coupled with threats of arrest for drug trafficking in some cases. This has happened in the past, but per se they are very limited, I think.
And in your experience, has Nicaragua in any fashion bent to the sanctions directed against it? In the time you've watched Nicaragua, has it changed because of the sanctions?
Oh, no, John. They come and go, and sometimes they pretend they are moving here and there. It's a kind of movement that Cuba has done, especially towards the Europeans since the 90s, deceiving and creating false promises and all that. Only a note, a comparison also between Brazil and Nicaragua regarding the persecution against priests and bishops, Catholic priests in Nicaragua, is that in Brazil, the Catholic Church, at least the hierarchy of the Catholic Church, they side with the left. So they, they kind of are totally silent about that. And if they could, they would probably support the regime there, although they don't care about, I think, unfortunately, the Catholic faith of so many millions. They care about the political affiliation, the church.
We're headed to Ecuador. Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil, Joseph Umar, executive director of Secure Free Society. This is the New World Report. I'm John Batchelor.
United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and America's largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal law enforcement agencies through our many varied programs, including free safety equipment donations, free officer survival training, cash donations, and condolence letters to the family of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty. USDSA also offers college scholarships for the dependent children of law enforcement, along with the Citizen Awareness Program and thank you cards to law enforcement. These are just some of the ways United States Deputy Sheriff's Association assists America's law enforcement and the citizens they serve. For more information about United States Deputy Sheriff's Association or to see how you can help, visit www.usdeputy.org. United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, taking training to the next level, because lives are on the line.